Good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the press conference of the film The Other Lamb, a film which is competing in the official section of the 67th edition of the San Sebastian International Film Festival. And to talk about it, we've got, who have we got? Well, we've got part of the cast, Stephanie Wilcox, the producer, Dennis Goh, and also Rafi Cassidy, and Denise Goh, I'm sorry, I'll pronounce it correctly, and then the director as well as Margaret Sater Zumzowska, who was also part of the jury here in the past at Film Festival. Okay, I don't know whether you want to say anything about the film. First of all, this is the director, do you want to say a few words? Oh, yeah, would you like to say a few words just to start off with? Yes.
Very happy to of course to be here, and I love the festival and the spirit of the city and the spirit of the festival. And what I can say, I'm just very curious about the reactions, critics, journalists, but also the audience, I would say the real audience, which is gonna watch our movie tonight. And yes, it's like a European premiere for The Other Lamb. Because we have already an American premiere.
Toronto.
A Toronto Film Festival, then maybe it's a different audience, maybe it's a different perception. Let's see, I'm just very curious about the European, you know, response to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, questions. We've got a question already, it seems.
For several reasons, congratulations. The first question, if we think about your recent films, Body, Mug, and this one, religious is always present, and I want to, in different ways. The first film, you even dealt with Kardecism and spiritualism. In Mug, we had the Christ in the city. Yeah. It's what was a very impressive image. And now we have all this discussion about fundamentalism and many other issues. I want to hear about that. And second question, if possible, I want to understand how was your work with your cinematography in this film?
Yeah, it's like, of course, I was like taken by the script also because of that reason that I have found out my subjects, right? Something which I'm interested in all my life, which is actually fundamentalism, religion, how religion influences the society, all of that questions, because that cult, I would say, it's like a religious cult, right? Then it was like something which was really, I was really interested in. To answer, because it makes a connection, right? It's first English-speaking movie, but still there is a big part of me. Of course, it's like almost first time when I haven't write a script. The script is written by Catherine McMullen. Then it was like also a new experience, but I found so many links to my internal world, I would say, in that script, that it was kind of easy to find myself and not to lose myself. Another thing is Michał Englert. Of course, Michał Englert, he's a cinematographer. I work with him like all my life. Then, you know, it's for us, I don't remember even, I'm lost, like I've 8 or 7 feature films we've done together. Then my cooperation with him is actually like without word. I mean, we just have the same taste, and I don't have to really communicate with him like notoriously to achieve an amazing result on the screen. Then I would call it like we have the same sensibility, but also it's a huge save of time to work with him because we are not disturbed by sometimes, you know, difficult it is in the communication. I'm just saying, and he said, oh yeah, okay, I got it, and opposite then. Before the shooting, we just agreed what kind of lenses we want to use, which format, how the camera should work, and then everything was like kind of, I would say, smooth. Especially that we didn't have a lot of time. It was like 25 shooting days and very, very, very hardcore shoot in the crazy Irish landscape. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sí. ¿Alguna pregunta, más preguntas?
Any further questions?
Sí. Sí, ahí tenemos una.
Yes, there's a question there. Hi, good morning. I would like to talk to you about, is fundamentalism or religion the issue of the film, or is it something that the main character, the quote-unquote shepherd, isn't it an issue of more of a matriarchal or submission of women? What is there of a mixture of all this? And in that sense, the actresses, and congratulations to all of them, by the way, what was the toughest part of the shoot for you? The tough conditions that the director has just mentioned in that crazy landscape in Ireland, or everything that your characters were really about as regards to their relationship with that quote-unquote shepherd? Thank you.
Difficult. Actually, it was, I think, the weather conditions, really. It was like very tough and cold and raining, and we were like all the time outside. But also to find the right tone in Shepard's character was difficult. I mean, it took me like 2 days, up to 3 days to really find the right tone of his character, because I mean it's not easy with him, especially we don't know so much about him. He's like more, I would say, a kind of symbol of abusive man who is a fake prophet than like a very real person. Then I should really find my way how to portray him, and actually I just trimmed almost all of his lines, because in the script he was talking a lot, and somehow it was taking out a kind of tension from
For me, what was really interesting about this script was that it shows the projection of these, by taking away a lot of the speaking on behalf of this male character, it shows how powerful women's projection onto a man can be, and how they then abandon each other in the face of the charisma of this man. And so I found that it was a story not just about the oppression of women, but how women can do that to themselves in the face of a hope of being saved by a man. And so for me, it opened up a conversation, an important conversation, about the responsibility we have to each other as women to look out for each other in that situation. Because there's a lot of, I never want to be in films where women are victims. We have to take responsibility for what it is we do. And so when I watch the film, I can see why they project onto this savior, this man, and as a result, they let each other down until Sarah, thankfully, there's a connection made between an older and a younger woman where we can have hope for the future, maybe. But I didn't see it very much as a fundamentalist religion thing. I saw it as the power of projection.
Yes, of course.
Maybe briefly.
I feel like it was a very real film. Everything that you saw was real, like the weather conditions. Whilst it was difficult when we were working against the weather, I think that added a lot to the... you know, what we saw on camera. And also it really helped because Mikkel was the only male cast member. So that really helped to kind of throw us in there, didn't it? There was no pretending with this film. Whether it was intentional or not, we were, you know, doing it all for real, yeah.
Yeah. But we had a lot of fun, too.
Oh, God, yeah, we did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the darker the movie, the more fun you have to have.
Yeah.
So we went nuts.
Sí, teníamos ahí otra vez.
I have two questions, Stephanie. First, I want to understand how was the financial of this project, and not only financing it, but the distribution of a project like this. It's a very auteur film in several reasons, but it's also like a genre movie. It could be also regarded as a kind of fantasy film somehow, and I want to hear you about that. I have a question to you, Malgorzata. Better than trying to find the references you use, I believe is to find the dialogues your film can establish with other films. I could make a conversation between your movie and Shyamalan's The Village, with Bergman, with many other, Lars von Trier, Antichrist, but I want to hear your own references in this case. Who are the directors that somehow your movie dialogues with?
Okay, maybe first Stephanie.
First Stephanie.
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, so it was made as an independent film with independent financing as well as funding from various government bodies. It was structured as an official European co-production between Ireland and Belgium. So we shot the film in Ireland, in Wicklow specifically, and then we did all of our post-production in Belgium. So we had funding from Screen Ireland and some other private investors as well. And yeah, to distribution, it was made purely independently. So I work on all independent films along with another producer named David Lancaster, and I would say our taste generally are films that walk that line between art and commercial, and films that have a really strong authored auteur director's voice, but feel theatrical, that people want to see them in a cinema. And we felt like from the script and through Malgo's direction as well, that this film fit right in that wheelhouse of being incredibly theatrical, and it's a real experience seeing it on the big screen, but stayed really true to the work she'd done before, which is really bold and provocative.
To me, I have watched, you know, it's first time I made a film which has something to do with genre, and then it was like a very, very new experience, and actually I like it. Then maybe I became a genre director now. And of course it's in the middle, it's very outdoor, it's not totally genre. Maybe it should be more genre, actually.
Malgo spent a lot of time on set yelling, more blood, more blood.
Yeah. And then I was watching before like few horror films, like from the new horror wave, like Get Out, Hereditary, also some others, and then A Ghost Story, like indie, American, a kind of horror thriller, invitation films. It follows, like, you know, usually I'm not watching that kind of films, that is also so interesting to me, you know, to dive into a different world. And then, of course, I have watched Repulsion by Polanski. And of course, Shining by Kubrick, and of course Antichrist. I had it in my mind, but probably Lars von Trier, he is like one of my favorite directors ever. Then it's a natural influence. I'm under his influence, notoriously, because I adore what he's doing, always.
Un poquito para añadir a esta pregunta. Es,
to add to this question, is that it's your first film? To add to this question, it's the first time you shoot in English, right? And it's not your original script. It's Catherine McMullen's script, right? So how was that experience? Because it was probably new to speak, to use another language, and also material which is not yours. And how did the script come into your hands? Was it through Stephanie, or how did all that happen?
Funny, because I met David Lancaster at 5 a.m. in the morning at Cannes Film Festival, and he asked me if I mean, we were kind of a little bit maybe not suburb, and he asked me if I have a good DP from Poland. I gave him a contact to my DP, Michał Englert, and then Michał sent him over our films, and then David proposed film to me. And then, I mean, it was like that's how it happened. And Stephanie, of course, she... After I met Stephanie, who was all the time with me during the shooting, and I mean, she was like an amazing to have such a producer, I have to mention. She was all the time with me, we were a very good team, and of course my amazing cast, but maybe it's not the right moment, but I was so happy to work with you guys. If it was different, yes, it was different. But I can tell you something. I've done 7 feature films, all art house, which were like Locarno Film Festival, then Berlinale, Berlinale Panorama, Berlinale Competition. And at some point, you are kind of, maybe not tired, but you want to experience something very new and very different. Then I think it's in the right moment. It happened in the right moment of my film making career. Then I can just try something else. And also, it's not easy to write all the time the scripts. You know, sometimes it's very good to receive a script. And I'm just discovering this receiving scripts. And actually, some of them that are very interesting. Then I'm very open to that experience. But my experience was good, because I have a good producer, I have a good cast, and language to me, there is like, no, I don't have like language issues. Mm. I mean, you know, you understand the script because you have read this many times, you understand the dialogues because you almost learned them, memorized them. Then I can't see if it's like a very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Y quizás Stephanie también que nos pueda...
Stephanie, could you explain, I imagine, that you knew Margot Sata's career and her films. What attracted you about her films to dedicate yourself, or to want to make you collaborate with her on this project?
Yeah, I had seen her film Body first, and I think what I love about what Margot does, I mean, a lot of things, but a lot of her movies kind of feel like dreams, and they really take you into a world. And she has a really strong command of tone in all of her films, and sometimes tricky tones where it feels like she's dealing with really complex issues thematically, but then it's funny and it's heartbreaking, and she can really walk that line very easily. And we had been developing this script, and on the page, it felt kind of like a fever dream as well. It was like you were being sort of taken into this nightmarish atmosphere. It was almost like a novel kind of on the page. And when I saw her films, I thought that would be a really great marriage of someone who, you know, she deals with a lot of these themes, as we mentioned, with gender, with religion. And a lot of it she does just through really powerful images and without handing things to you on a platter as the audience. She doesn't sort of spoon feed, she lets things speak for themselves. And I think for this film that's really important, because there is so much going on that you don't want it to be too heavy-handed and kind of forcing things, and just let it breathe. And I met her in person, and she's like a rock star, and we had a great time. So all of that as well. But yeah, that's what drew me through her films.
Okay. Más preguntas.
Further questions? Yes, there's one here. Hi. Congratulations for your film. I think it's got a very high quality. I'd like to ask a couple of questions, one to the director and another to the two actresses. When I see a film, I've got a feeling that every shot is extremely hard worked upon. It's a composition in itself. It's like a picture, a painting. Is that what? But that requires a lot of time. And is that time? It's difficult on location. And how do the actresses deal with a high emotional level that they portray in their characters? Because you're on a location and you're a very high emotional projection. And I imagine because all of the frames and everything you see in the shots are like paintings, I imagine it took a lot of time and very difficult for the actresses to maintain that high level of concentration. Oh.
Thank you very much. First of all, we didn't have a lot of time, so there wasn't the luxury of taking a lot of time over getting into character and everything. But I felt all of my scenes were with Rafi, and we work in a very similar way, which is that we mess around a lot. So it wasn't very difficult to get into emotional. I don't find acting very difficult, especially emotional acting. I love it. I mean, it's very easy for me. So, and the quicker I can do it, the better. I think that's the quicker you can come in and out of it, the better. That's what I aspire to be able to do in my career, is to do it really fast, because otherwise I won't get to make films like this, because some people have the luxury of taking hours and days and weeks living up trees and doing all of the stuff that they need to do to get into character, but we had to do it quick, and then Misha, our DOP, and Margot, they made the picture. And when I saw the picture I was in, I felt so privileged, and I was so glad that I was able to work quickly in order to be able to be part of something like this. It's like being in a painting, you know, it was incredible. And yeah, but we messed around a lot, right?
Yeah, we did.
You'd think that we're crying and being very dark and very down, but actually it was the absolute opposite. And what we had to worry about was laughing in the middle of a scene, because you remember something that I'd remember something that Rafi had said or did. And yeah, so I don't find being very emotional in between takes very helpful. It's the opposite to me. Let it happen when the camera says action. And also because of the conditions, we didn't need to pretend we were cold and wet. We were cold and wet. It was grim, really, really grim. But we still managed to have so much fun doing it.
Yeah, we did. No, I agree, it's way easier to like snap in and out of it instead of you know, carrying on when the camera isn't rolling, like Denise. But yeah, no, it was a really fun thing to be able to do and watch and see Malgo and Misha work together and create these amazing pictures. And God, you can never be kind of impatient because they've got so little time. You just sit back and let them work their magic, I guess.
But also saying that Rafi was, you know, number one on the call sheet. She was our captain, our leader. And if she had been a nightmare, this would have been a disaster to work on, because it was so tough, the conditions were so tough, but her patience, her tolerance of everything that was going on, and she stayed so uplifted through the whole thing that everyone had to meet her on that level. So I'll be forever grateful that she led us like that. Truly, at 17, I'd have been a disaster.
Okay. Do you want to add something? Or?
Yeah, I can tell you that because I work with this DOP so many times that actually before we kind of traveled 2 times to Ireland to find the locations, and like somehow we did it before. I mean, like we worked so many frames and etc. like before shooting, and also we have like an amazing references in art. Then I think we were kind of ready and set up for the when we start to shoot how we want to do it. Sometimes it was difficult, I'm not saying that, but we were trying to use a natural light as much as possible, because we didn't have time, of course, to light everything. Then, yeah, it was hard, but effective.
I'm not sure, whether it's true, correct me if I'm wrong. Originally, the film was going to be shot in Australia, a completely different landscape, and then you decided to shoot it in Ireland. Is that correct, or am I mistaken?
Yeah. So Catherine McMullen, the screenwriter, mm-hmm. is Australian. Mm-hmm. And so when she wrote it, initially she had envisioned an Australian landscape, and it was hot and dusty and red and basically the complete opposite look of what the film ended up being. But when we brought Margot onto the project, we started exploring locations in Europe that might make sense for funding and incentives. And Ireland has great crews, and they have a tax rebate there. And we thought, okay, well, in this story, it's very remote. You don't necessarily need to set it in a specific landscape. It's something that's very universal, and we could apply it to a different location. And so Malgo went and scouted Ireland and really fell in love. And I think, you know, from the sort of genre fantasy aspects of the script, it felt like a fairy tale when we went to Wicklow the first time, and it really kind of brought so much more. And I'm sure, you know, obviously Australia has its own beautiful beautiful locations, but it was kind of a much more desolate feel. And I think the woods and everything really enhanced your ideas about what you wanted the look to be.
It's also closer to me. I'm from Poland, I'm European, I'm in desert, Australia. It's like something I don't know anything about that. Then I think actually it's better.
We can do the sequel.
In bikinis on the beach.
In Australia.
Yeah, other lands.
You'll come and find me. Yeah. You'll raise the baby.
Now knowing how cold it was, we might have thought about that a little harder, actually.
Yes, we've got another question and then another one here. Hi, a couple of questions for the director. You've talked to artistic references when composing, all the shots and the scenes. Could you please mention some of those references? What painters have been served as an inspiration for those beautiful paintings that you see on the screen almost? And when could you also advance whether your next project will be a return to back to Poland, or do you have the intention of continuing to shooting films away from home and in other languages?
Two references, actually, photographers, modern photographers. One is Jeff Walls, and another is Crowdson. And this is like that, it was like a kind of reference for us, but not only. I mean, also like some paintings, some painters from the beginning of the century, and also some films. It's like, but yeah, these two, Geoff Wallace and Crowdson, is like a mine inspiration, I would say. To answer on your next question, it was a moment, because exactly now I was offered some projects. Another English-speaking projects, and then I have to choose, or I'm coming back to Poland and doing a movie. I already have money from Polish Film Institute and Germany, or not. And it was very hard decision to be made, but I decided to make movie in Poland. Then, and my art house spirit still alive, I would say. Yeah, but it was a kind of hard decision, I must say, because I started to like to play with another people and with another stories, and like to be kind of unexpectedly free, also free from Poland and the problems we are facing there. And if you are making movie in Poland, you have to, it's not you have to, but you are just saying something about Poland immediately, because it touches you, it's your own country, now passing through not very nice period, I would say. And then you are so much attached to the Polish problems. Then my next movie is gonna be really attached to the Polish problems again. Then I hope the next one is gonna be, I don't know, in US.
Yes, another question. Yes. Denise and Rafi, it's great for you to be here, because I see that through the entire plot, albeit you're trying from the outset to understand what's going on in the film, and you think the focus is the shepherd, Michael Mitchell. Denise and Rafi, it's like you're the center of the plot. You've got to be very aware of what's going on with both of them, because they control all the psychology, and that's where you're going to understand. Between those, they allow you to understand the entire film, because the whole development of the film, you're paying attention to those two characters, and that makes you be completely aware of what's going on during the whole film. And you realize a couple of details that drew my attention, by the way. There are two scenes, and there's an open take in the forest, and supposedly all of the characters should be going along, because they're going behind, walking behind the shepherd. But you see that the little girls aren't there, and why aren't they there? And then when night comes, obviously there's no light. But all of a sudden, in one of the takes, the camera focuses. You don't see the lighthouse, but you see that it's a lighthouse, but you don't. But it's hidden behind a tree. You say, what's going on there? What does that mean? And with all the respect, by the way, Did you do that on purpose, the lighthouse, or was a lack of budget, or what's the meaning behind all of that? The lighthouse that you can see behind the tree, because it's in the it's Oh, well, or maybe light or light, a light behind the tree. Maybe he said light. It could be mistaken. It's my fault. A light behind the tree that emerges in one of the scenes. And he was wondering whether that was a mistake, lack of budget, that you couldn't get it, rid of it, or okay.
I don't know which moment you are talking about.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but thank you for saying that we explained the whole thing.
I'm happy that DOP is not here.
Puedes explicar de nuevo.
No, I don't know. Actually, no. I think we didn't make any mistake from our perspective. If it will be a mistake that we're gonna fix it in post, then no. We'll everything is like on purpose. Then probably this light is also like on purpose. Maybe, I think because we discussed a lot with DOP, but also like. Coming back to the references to the modern art, sometimes the light is a little bit like on purpose fake, you know? It's like a kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Time for one last question if anyone wants to add anything, because any further questions? Yes, it seems that there is a question.
The music of the film in general, and specific about the song that we hear in the middle of the film.
The song is a song by The Kills. It's a, I think it's a UK band.
It's by who?
The Kills.
Okay.
That's the band. Actually, I think it's an UK band. Mm-hmm. It's a song which I just really like, and we were listening this song on the way to the set each day, and then we decide to use that song in the movie. It was kind of
yeah.
And then the rest, the music, it's like composed by Polish composer Paweł Mikietyn, who kind of jumped on the project very late because we need a spectacular piece of music. And then I just asked Paweł to give me his viola concerto. And that's why this viola concerto is on the movie, but also there is a Raphael Leloup, Belgian composer music, or I would say more kind of music atmospheres. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bueno, pues.
Okay. All we've got, we have to finish now. I want to thank all of you from the people from the other lamb, and I just wish you the best of luck with the film in Europe. Thank you very much for coming along.